He is a political science professor at Columbia University, Lincoln Mitchell. Professor Mitchell, good to have you.
Nice to be here. Nice talking to you, Pat.
Always nice to talk about anything but COVID-19, too, although I have a feeling that will seep into our conversation. Professor Mitchell has written an opinion piece in CNN about why Biden has what it takes to beat Trump. And Professor, just this morning, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said he believes that Joe Biden has not laid out a case for why he should be elected. No surprise, I suppose, from a Republican.
Yes, and first of all, any politician, the case against Donald Trump by any Democrat, no matter who had come through that very big, you know, primary field, was I am not Donald Trump.
Right.
And at this moment, that can get Joe Biden elected. Now, Kevin McCarthy, I think we could, if we were generous, we could say he's not the smartest member of Congress. He doesn't have the greatest sense of history or politics or reality. but what strikes me about that is if we actually, and also what he's saying is consistent with the messaging we get a lot. You know, you need to put out a plan, a program. In reality, when an incumbent president is defeated, which has really only happened three times in the last 90 years, it's because the American people perceive that president as having failed and just turn to whoever the opponent is. And it's really only been Jimmy Carter, who lost to Reagan in 1980, George H.W. Bush,
yep,
who lost to Bill Clinton in 1992. And then you have to go all the way back to Herbert Hoover, who lost to FDR in 1932. So this is a rare event. But what drives it is the perception that the incumbent president has failed. And when that perception is out there, and right now at this moment, it is out there, and if you ignore for a moment the kind of head-to-head polling, look at the approval ratings. Donald Trump's approval ratings are consistently below 45%, and some polls below 40%. That means the American people see him as a failure, and they will vote for somebody else. Now, of course, we have about 4 months to go, 4 months and a day, actually, so things can happen. But that's what Donald Trump has to turn around, to say Joe Biden hasn't laid out a plan. Whether or not that's true, it's just not relevant, really.
Well, he tried doing it partially, the president did this morning when he came out and held a briefing touting the brand new jobs numbers that were out today. And, you know, if you're listening only to Donald Trump, you would believe that these are the signs of an economy rebounding after this pandemic.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, there is a scenario where, you know, we get a vaccine tomorrow and the economy is booming better than ever before by November, you know, 1st. There's also a scenario where the Giants meet starting pitching halfway through their 60-game schedule,
yeah,
and call me because I'm left-handed, right? but neither of these are particularly likely. The numbers that Trump is talking about is essentially saying, you know, we've lost so many jobs in the months immediately following, you know, the real crisis hitting, and we're slowly climbing out of this hole. But if you know, I just happened to have to go to Midtown Manhattan today, which I don't usually do, but I happened when I had to do there. And you walk around there, and if you've seen Midtown Manhattan when the economy is strong, that's not what it looks like now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's similar in other cities and towns around America, perhaps not as dramatic as here in New York. But so that notion that the economy is back, it's what Trump has to say. I mean, I don't really fault him for saying it, but the American people aren't buying it, and they probably shouldn't.
Don't you think that people are still a bit scarred, Professor Mitchell, by underestimating Donald Trump?
I think a lot of people are, and a lot of experts are. And it's also become kind of, you know, you sound a little sophisticated if you say, well, the polls are wrong last time. But, you know, I actually wrote a piece right after the 2016 election called How I Got It Wrong, because I think when you get it wrong, you should own that and you should look inward and see what you did wrong. And one of the things I realized is I was looking at the analysis but not the data. And going into 2016, the last week, it was neck and neck in a lot of key states like Wisconsin, places like that. The data here is very different. Hillary Clinton in 2016, throughout the campaign, was never above 50%. So she was leading, but it'd always be, you know, 46, 42 or something like that. Joe Biden has been consistently above 50%, and that's pretty significant. Also, the swing states, I mean, I happened to be talking to a colleague in Michigan about, you know, the election and plans there because it's a swing state. And every time we get on the phone, you know, our weekly call to discuss it, I feel a little bit like I don't even know if Michigan is a swing state anymore.
Yeah.
Biden has opened up an 8 to 10 point lead. So and running as an incumbent, it's much harder to move the numbers. That's why, and I want to be clear here, Trump will win if people don't go to the polls and vote. And we know there will be voter suppression, right?
Yes.
So everyone has to vote, and everyone has to work hard to make sure that they vote and that people are allowed to vote. I wrote a piece, my piece before this on CNN was my long concern that Trump won't leave if he loses, so we have to make sure that happens. But the poll numbers at the moment don't look good for Trump, and moving those numbers as an incumbent is more difficult than when you're a challenger.
Well, especially under these kinds of conditions, I would imagine.
Right. I mean, you know, if things go, not the worst case scenario, but kind of if we stay on this track, we could be looking at 200,000 Americans dead from COVID-19 by the election. You know, we're at about 128,000 yep. now. And these are extraordinary numbers. And every death, you know, has a ripple effect emotionally on a medium-sized number of people. But you can't sustain an economy when 50,000 people are testing positive every day, right? And the fear that creates in people, no matter what you say about you can go to a restaurant or you can do this or you can do that, people aren't going to do it.
Yeah, so, we see measure of that, certainly here in California. Professor Mitchell, is there anything the president can do to change all of this in his favor? For example, would it make a reasonable impact if the president showed up over the weekend in public in a mask?
Well, let me say this. Here's what I would tell the president if I were advising him. And I would clarify that I'm not advising him. And if I did, my wife would divorce me and my mother would leave all of her estate to the dog. So this isn't going to happen. But what I would say if I were like advising the Republican campaign right now is I would say, Donald Trump, what you need to do is stay in the Oval Office, stay in the White House, and be perceived as working hard. Make a few statements, have a lot of meetings, be seen, you know, earnestly, you know, meeting and looking, you know, from 6 feet apart with a mask on sometimes with, you know, Senate leaders or health experts or things like that. And let the campaign take over with direct messaging to the remaining swing voters. Because what happens now is the story is always Donald Trump. So, for example, you remember that rally in Tulsa a few weeks ago?
Oh, yes.
And, you know, the news story was, well, it was so poorly attended, right? I mean, I've described it as, I'm going to make my second baseball allusion, so forgive me. But it's like watching a pitcher who used to be great and his fastball's now only 88 miles an hour and can't figure out why everyone's hitting it out of the park.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
He was not a great rally. But what struck me is that why is he having that rally? Donald Trump has never won a swing voter with his rallies. His rallies, his speech, his racism, that pushes the voters away who he needs to win back. The way he can win those voters back is by promising them, when we beat this, I'm the guy to lead our economy back, right? Because people still, a lot of voters, for better or for worse, still believe he knows what he's doing with regard to the economy. But he's not doing that. As long as the story is always Donald Trump's latest tweet, Donald Trump's latest fight, Donald Trump's latest lie, his chances are hurting. If the story is a smart Republican campaign, he's got a better chance. The problem is that, one, Donald Trump doesn't have the discipline to lay low. We've seen that, you know, for the last 5 years. And the people in the Republican Party and in the campaign, they see their role primarily as keeping Trump happy. And the flip side of that, and I don't mean to be mean-spirited, is to kind of manage Trump's decreasing mental capacity, right, to conceal that from the American public. And that leaves them little time to implement and execute what might be a smart campaign. So Trump's in a tough situation here.
Well, let me ask you this, Professor Mitchell. What could Joe Biden do to lose this thing?
Well, you know, you can always, there's only a lot you can do to lose an election. What Joe Biden could do to lose this election is to get too far out, right? You know, the story that Trump wants to tell is that, you know, Joe Biden is AOC's, you know, older, nice grandfather, right? But ideologically, he's the same. If he is perceived as not on the issues, because a lot of the issues that AOC talks about, people agree with. Medicare for All is not exactly a wildly unpopular issue. You know, stronger gun regulations. The data all shows. But if stylistically Biden is seen as erratic, if he is seen as really, he makes a terrible vice presidential choice, you know, in 2008, which is the most recent, I think, terrible vice presidential choice, John McCain was losing in the polls, and he had to roll the dice a little bit. He came up with a bad roll, but he did a risky move, right? There was a scenario where Sarah Palin, you know, turned out to be great, and, you know, really capture the spirit, hearts of the American people. But that didn't happen. Biden can't do that right now. He doesn't need to roll the dice on the vice president. He doesn't need to roll the dice on anything. What he needs to do is keep putting one foot in front of the other, right? That speech he gave, you know, no one's gonna confuse that with Winston Churchill speaking during the Battle of Britain, right? But it gets the job done. It gets the message across.
No question about that, Professor. I'm going to have to wrap this up coming up on the top, on the bottom of the hour. But thank you very much for being here. I look forward to talking to you between now and November.
My pleasure. Anytime. Take care.
All right. That's political science professor at Columbia University, Lincoln Mitchell.